I was just going to mention, because you mentioned flies, and David, I heard you do the same. My wife Judy hired a company, a local company, although I don't know its name, that came in and sprayed. We have a sunroom on our house and had endless problems with flies in there, house flies. So they came in and sprayed. They were in and out in like 20 minutes, and there are no more flies. And that problem has gone on for like 4 or 5 years for us. So.
Yeah, I had a person with the same issue.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was going to mention there's a company, don't know what the name
of
it is, but yeah, she said...
if you're interested in...
They'd have the strips, fly strips hanging, there'd be hundreds and hundreds. You'd have to change them 2 or 3 times a day. And then her daughter has a farm, and she said that they have a company come in and do it. And they got them to come in, and and it's been like 3 years, and they haven't had any.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
It's remarkable because it was a constant problem. We'd go out there and vacuum them up like 3 times a week, seriously, but it didn't help. They just kept coming anyway. So,
okay, any further discussion? Do we have a timeline on this, or was it in the presentation when they would actually do it if they get the contract?
Well, the committee sort of had a special meeting just so we could pass this as soon as possible to let them know. The sooner the better, because it's a contracting company and they're going to get busy as the season goes by, so the sooner they can go in and complete this project, the less that the historical committee has to worry about what happened last year. You know, weeks pass by, months pass by, and then the project, it never got cleaned, so the sooner the better.
And the ultimate goal is, what is it, August 22nd or something like that, to have the grand opening?
Yeah.
Yeah. The same Friday as we're going to do the, because part of it might be, come from, you know, anybody wants to get be involved in both, they come from the churches maybe, eh? Is like how might we get laid out?
It's
and come back here?
Yeah, so the main point is that Graydon Smith, because it's an NOHFC grant that we received.
Right.
So, and same here, this was, I believe, an NOHFC grant that was for the ballpark. So he would be coming basically for a photo op for both of the projects.
Right now, as part of the planning, the rec committee is tentatively thinking barbecue at 1 o'clock. That's kind of, so if all of a sudden you hear something, well, no, it's not going to be 1 o'clock by any means. Can let us know whether we can change that, I don't know. But I'm also going to be trying to arrange for, to have a ball players there, and that might even bother, because there's a lot of pickleballers now, and I know a lot of them played ball in their past, so see whether when they're finished pickleball, because they actually play that day till noon, I think, is have them maybe bring their gloves and everything, see if we can get an adult game going as part of the plans.
Sounds really good. So the Blue Jays are probably not in the schedule. So the only amendment is to add at the very end of that, after resolution number 25-12, following the third reading of the budget. So we'll call the question, first of all, on the amendment. All those in favor? Okay, that's carried, unopposed. And then the amended resolution then with that added at the end, following the third reading of the budget. Call the question on the amended resolution. All those in favor? Unopposed? Carried. Resolution 25-203, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Ryan, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Heather Chambers to the Recreation Committee to facilitate the T-ball program. Discussion?
Nothing. I get to meet Heather, have emailed with her lots about arranging it all, and we'll be meeting her Thursday night here at 5 o'clock for the registration. Her and I will be doing that. She sounds really enthused. Do we need Rick removed? Is that her? That was because he was appointed.
Yeah.
I think that's something previous.
Just for facilitating the T-ball, but I can add that to that if you wish.
Oh, it's totally up to you whether he should be taken off or whether he... maybe leave him on for another year in case he does come out.
And then next year we'll reappoint everyone.
Yeah, just in case he... That will help out, you know, in the transition.
Yep.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. household collection bin for the collection of waste collected as a part of the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee's annual cleanup, Clean Up Our Lakes campaign, in cooperation with the township at the transfer station from May the 16th, 2025 to May the 23rd, 2025, in coordination with the Public Works Superintendent. And further, that waste not acceptable for disposal at the Township of McKellar transfer station during this campaign includes, but is not limited to, household hazardous waste, boats, bulky items, large appliances, brush, household furniture, and any item that would incur a waste tipping fee as cited in bylaw 2023-55. Discussion? Councilor Bryan?
Given that this is just members of the public doing most of the collection and bringing it in there, what are we going to do when they show up with these things? I don't know about hazardous waste, but I mean it's possible. What do we want them to do? Return it back to where they found it? I mean, I understand why we say this, and I support that entirely. It's just an odd situation, right? I mean, we'd have to be sure that, you know, they're just ordinary people trying to clean up. What are we going to do about this, right? We can give them some information, but, I mean, if you go to the transfer station, you already know this anyway, but...
Well, I would think if it's advertised well enough, I mean, once you're inside the gates, there's no way the township can accept these things. So, yeah, they would have to return it from whence it came.
Which
I'm not sure we can take on the liabilities.
No, no, I know, but it's a catch-22 is what it is, so...
Well, it is.
You almost need somebody appointed on the committee to maybe be there to deal with the problem, almost, and whether they can... They had a truck and they could throw it in the back of their truck to take it to wherever it needs to go at a future date.
I have attempted to talk to people bringing garbage bags with their recycling in there, and a few of them get very hot under the collar. And I would imagine this would be much worse. Here I am trying to clean up the neighborhood kind of thing, and then you're telling me I can't do anything. What am I supposed to do? Take it home, put it in my garage? You know. I mean, I know where they can get rid of hazardous waste, but I mean, and boats, I mean, I know that that had happened at least once, but let's face it, I don't think there's an awful lot of boats lying around on our lakes.
No.
But,
it's hard to say what they could bring that wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we can do our best to advertise it that way, but I don't know.
An old boat motor, say?
Yeah.
It's probably not allowed, eh?
Okay.
So I think the whole purpose of this last further back is so that people don't think that this is a free day.
Yeah.
That, you know, oh, you can bring anything to the township, you know, on from this time period. You know, certain things are not accepted there anytime, and so they're not accepted during this time, and it's not a free day. It's just a little bit of cleanup around the lake, the kind of stuff you see floating around.
I know last year there was a couple of barrels that were found and things too, like 50-gallon barrels, plastic ones and things, and brought them, but I don't recall how that got resolved, or even if it did. But yeah, at a minimum, we can say to people, please, you know, I'm not sure. Are we saying, please don't collect them and leave them at in the lake or near the lake? I don't know. That's not good either. So
good luck to Brandy. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of falls on her, given... Something comes in, it's not allowed. She's just got to tell them, and they will have to leave with it.
Well, she's got a way of talking to people anyways.
Yeah, she's nice. She'll be nice about it. But she'll have to be informed that, yeah, we can't allow people to pile up stuff on site that is not permitted. So.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Call a question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Hopefully maybe she'll have student help by that time. Yeah, okay.
She does now. This past weekend she had a student with her, and she will going forward.
Right.
For the summer.
So she has help for that period, especially that period, eh?
Yes.
To 20.3, resolution 25-205, moved by Councillor Keckin and second by Councillor Ryland. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby appoint Jaden Lugs and Layla Bagteo to the rank of probationary firefighter with the McKellar Volunteer Fire Department, as recommended by Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Discussion? 6th day of May 2025. Discussion? Just that one quick question here, if I can find it. Probably can't, but there was something added that wasn't redlined. And I just want to know what happened there and how we're to know what changes were made.
Was that with regards to training?
Yes. It was on the Schedule C, number 5. In our previous resolution, we had registration fees for conferences and training sessions. We've since added including courses, and we had a lively discussion at the last meeting on that. This wasn't redlined, but it's been added since. So I just need a little bit of background on why that was done.
That was my oversight. I did not redline including courses. My interpretation was that it was to be added, but if council wants it removed, that's not a problem. And we can do the third reading tonight as well.
Well, my concern was, and I raised it last time, and I won't go through the whole issue again, that there is a second check on this because it has to be approved by council. But I mentioned about the fine line between council and staff, and we're doing what we can for staff as far as further education because they'll be using it on a regular basis in the workplace. Council, it's sort of a personal decision to educate themselves further. There are other ways of doing that, mind you, besides taking these courses. And I looked up the AMCTO website too. It is for staff, primarily municipal staff. For counselors, there are educational sessions for municipal counselors. There actually is a book that's put out on expectations and what you should be doing. So I would think, again, if you're looking at personal development, education, that's something that, you know, certainly something that would be admired, but then you have to be careful on making the distinction between what staff is doing already, and I think Councillor Zulak, she can speak for herself, but talked about the duplication here, perhaps, of some people already taking these courses.
Yeah, at the last meeting, that's what I had mentioned, that we have our staff that takes the courses, so we're sort of double-dipping.
Councillor Keckman?
So, the once again, this requires a council approval, and if council is going to approve a counselor to go to a conference that costs $450 for registration, which is a couple of days, I feel that it's a much better investment to have an informed council that has much more background information regarding every aspect of municipal, you know, business that councillors should know or have some type of background in being able to do the best job, you know, as a municipal councillor. So it doesn't matter if they take these courses or not. You still have councillors who overstep their lines, and we've seen that in previous terms of council. So, you know, that's something that they have to abide by through the code of conduct. You know, you can't limit how much you want a counselor to know because you don't want the counselor to know more than maybe a staff member. I think that this is a really good opportunity for a new counselor that does come on board who may want to know, be as well informed as they can regarding discussions that take place at every council meeting. You know, if you don't have a lot of the background information, but you feel that you want to have the best knowledge base possible, then it's a much better return on investment for whatever the registration fee is for a course. And not every counselor is going to want to do this because it takes a lot of focus and a lot of effort for anyone to engage in 6 months of courses, which costs approximately the same amount as the registration for one conference that is only a couple of days long, and you would get much more out of it.
I've taken these courses and I find they're absolutely incredible, the amount of information that they provide. But once again, not everyone's going to want to take these courses. So anyways, I think that option should be available. At the end of, I think, the sort of the discussion last time, it just seemed like there was three members of council that were in support of wanting to have this option available for any counselor that may want to not just take go to a conference or a training session, but include courses as well. So,
Counselor Zulak.
So, how obviously you've taken these courses. Is that right?
I have, yes.
Yes. So, how many years and how much money have you put into that? And you would feel that the township should reimburse you for
this? Oh, no,
this?
I don't want
no,
to.
No, not for the past, but if you continue taking them?
That would be up to whoever. This would come before council. Council would have to approve it. So if council says, no, we don't have that in the budget or whatever reason that council may use, then that's going to be up to council. This council might not want to support a counselor being able to have the opportunity to further their knowledge, and that's fine. But if a future council may want to have allow counselors to have that opportunity. So
what if a counselor decides that they want to take a university course to learn more about political things to help them in making decisions? You feel that if all of council decides that that's okay, that we should pay for that?
Well,
and if all of council decides they want to take this course?
Well, that would have to be up to council, because the budget for, I think, counselors is $1,500 a year. I believe a university course would be in the tens of thousands. So,
yeah.
You know, this here, there are courses available that are specifically tailored for those who want to further their knowledge in municipal
affairs.
So.
And I think that you said it right there. If you want to further your knowledge, I think it's your responsibility to do that. I don't think that the taxpayers should be paying for that. The staff, yes, to help them upgrade. And I'm not. And you mentioned something about to have more knowledge than the staff. I don't. That's not what I meant at all. I just say that the staff takes these courses, and that's fine. But if you want to take a course on, anything, I think that that's your responsibility. You shouldn't. The taxpayer shouldn't have to pay for that.
Well.
Frankly, I think it's a moot point. If you read the resolution under 6A, it says council, as a provision, council has authorized attendance and eligible expenses by resolution. So the way to deal with this is if there's something that council feels inappropriate, they simply wouldn't pass that resolution. But if we did pass a resolution, and I don't know under what circumstances I might or we might, but there may be some, and I think it's beneficial to the whole township to have employee development of resources to their maximum extent. So that might be, I can't contemplate what that might be, but if a good situation came up, the resolution as it sits is okay. It doesn't say that we will do it, just that if it's supported by a resolution, then we would.
Then how do you deal with the situation that it's to the benefit of the township or community, so you don't declare a conflict, but this would look to be a direct conflict.
Sorry?
This looks to be a direct conflict then. Do people not vote on a course that they're going to go to? And as soon as it's in there as a possibility, then it's pretty difficult for council to say, no, we never meant that we're going to vote against it. I guess the concern is, as Council Zulak said, for ratepayers to be paying for this. And as far as conferences, Councilor Kekkonen, I'd be interested to know how much this council has spent on councilors going to conferences. We've done just the opposite of previous councils. We haven't attended those conferences that other councils have on a regular basis. Councilor Kekkonen.
So this registration and conference fees, registration fees for conferences and training sessions approved by council resolution has been in the council bylaws since 1987. So councils since 1987 here in McKellar Township have allowed council members to go and attend conferences and training sessions in the goal that these counselors go and have an opportunity to become a little more familiar with municipal
municipal dealings. So I don't know what else these conferences and training sessions, the purpose would be for them, would be of counselors attending them if it wasn't for furthering their knowledge and understanding of what they're expected as a counselor. So, I, you know, once again, it comes down to it's going to be approved by council. So if this council, if whatever council you've been on has been the opposite of what the bylaw says, that's fine. But future councils may feel that allowing counselors to attend conferences and training sessions is something of value to the taxpayers, so that the counselors have the full knowledge and background of what maybe they need to know, as you know, because you're going to have counselors in the future that are going to come on board that don't have 10, 20, 30 years experience. Wouldn't you want them to have as much knowledge and be as informed as possible when making decisions, particularly when things do change, and they have changed quite a bit over, say, even the last 10 years. So there's always major changes, and if these courses are keeping, and conferences and training sessions keep a member of council, you know, up to date with what's going on, then I think that benefits everybody, because not everyone has an opportunity to be informed about everything that's going on. So every member of council contributes at least something to the whole good of the council.
Now, if you're going to go back that far, then we need some evidence of what you've said, that councils have accepted those people to go on those courses and they've got something in return. I don't have the information for that historical reference.
No, I'm referring to the bylaw from 1987,
right,
that basically is the same bylaw that we have here before us.
I'm not disagreeing. All I'm saying is, how often was it used? There are some councils in the past, unfortunately, who have been used, in my opinion, going to conferences. Yes, I will agree that the conferences, for certain people, they spend an awful lot of money doing it, sometimes not even a report back to council. And I question that. And so you'll see this council has done a reverse on that.
Still can't reach it.
Well, the check and balance and all of this is...
I'll just wait until they're settled there.
Sorry.
Okay. And it's not a hill I'm going to die on. We wanted this revised so that we could actually get something that made sense rather than repealing the others. We don't really have anything in place that's accurate. But I'm just wondering. Especially since where this is coming from, I don't recall other people asking for this. So I guess I just have to really consider the reasoning behind it and how many people would be actually wanting to do it and why. And I can't question why. But
well, when you're allowing a council member...
How many did it? I'm asking you for evidence of what you're saying then.
It's in our bylaws.
I don't
so
care about that. It's in the bylaw, yes, but where's your evidence saying that they've actually used that over
the
years?
Well, there's the option if anyone wants to. So, like, you know, this here is...
By resolution of council.
Exactly, so it has to be approved by council.
Right, and that's for a conference, not to take a full-fledged course from the AMCTO.
It says conferences and training sessions.
Right.
Training sessions, so you are going to a training session for... Furthering your education or understanding municipal business. So,
well, as I say, it's unfortunate. It was a slip. I guess that it wasn't included as a red line. I don't like the fact that it just slipped in here.
So, can we have it removed and then
vote
on it?
Council can decide. We'll see if the majority of council want it removed. It seemed like the last council meeting there were three that wanted this as one of the items that a councillor could be as a reasonable expense. Conferences, training sessions, including courses. So, you know, do we have a majority of members of council that want to include courses?
So do you intend to use this now?
Oh no, I've completed my courses.
Well,
and
I'm wondering why you're going on so much about this.
Because I can see the value of this for a new member of council that comes on board that may want to have a little
further understanding of how council business works. Because like I said, not everyone that comes to the council table has 10, 20, 30 years of experience.
And neither did you when you started.
Exactly, and thank God that I took these courses, because they've
When did you start taking them, Mike?
What does it matter? I'm saying that these courses are very useful, and I think that if a new counselor came on board, that this is something they should have an option to take. It doesn't have to. So it has to be approved by council. So there's your check and balance right there.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Well, I don't want to join the argument, but I do agree that it should be in there, and it's up to the council of the day, and hopefully a council of the future will not approve some ridiculous expenditure for some ongoing course of thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't know, there's probably not a limit to it, but hopefully councils of the future will be reasonable on how they use it, and I think small courses and certain things are very helpful, such as us going to the municipal meeting, even something simple like that, you gather some information. So I'm okay with this.
That's a different course than what he's referring to.
Well, I know that somebody, a council member, could bring it to the council table saying, yeah, I want to take a course, and it's going to take me 2 years, and it's going to cost $4,280. Will council approve that? I'm hoping they will say no. That's something that staff will take instead, because we want to educate our staff. So, but you can't. I don't think we should handcuff councils of the future, saying that no, certain things can't be done by certain council members to further educate themselves. So, you have a good argument there that could be abused in the future. But if I have to go either way, I think
But nobody's handcuffing you. You can take it on your own. Nobody's handcuffing you. If you're that dedicated and you want to learn more, you would go and take that on your own. It's the same as how it says in here about your has to have an office separate, right? So you have your printer and you have paper and you have ink and you're doing all that stuff, and you're not getting reimbursed for it.
We are getting reimbursed for that, because before we used to get the 1/3 tax deduction, and the reason why we changed to salary, because that was being taken away from counselors, particularly because that was an expense that the 1/3 tax deduction covered, so that instead it went to a salary, and the salary jumped quite substantially from what it was previously to cover for those expenses from the 1/3 tax deduction. It says right here that it'll cover registration fees for conferences and training sessions. We want counselors to be informed, and we want them to have opportunities, and I'm totally in favor of that.
As long as it's not in there that we have to.
No, approved by council.
I just rely on staff to
it's approved
keep me heading in the right direction.
It requires a council resolution. The expense form, you can see, it says resolution number. So,
as you say, it depends on the it abused in the past, unfortunately,
yeah,
by certain individuals who have spent thousands of dollars,
yeah,
for return on taxpayers. I'm
not aware of that.
You're not
yeah.
aware of that? You were on the council.
What was that right?
Yeah.
People went to every conference going.
Yeah.
Certain people.
The same as when they went to salary. They had meetings after meetings after meetings after meetings to bring up the salary weight, to go to salary so that you would get a larger sum. Had tons of meetings, closed meetings, and different meetings.
Well, they shouldn't have went to salary then. They could have made a fortune.
I don't think so.
No.
If you look at what you were making per meeting.
Yeah, before
actual,
to what
you're
making
by
now.
Half of what you're making.
Did I say something, but I didn't want to argue about this motion?
Well, we just want to get some
there must be a course that we can take.
That's good.
No, I know it could be abused, and but I think that door should be open for education, and just hope the councils don't let it spin out of control.
As I say, the only reason I would vote for this is that we need an updated remuneration bylaw, and combining the two that parties put together for us. Do I like the insertion of that? No, because it certainly can be abused.
didn't sign that, did they?
I don't know.
Move
I can't
it?
Remember. No, the one we just passed.
No, the
no,
this one.
This conflict.
21.2.
On declaring conflict.
Oh, okay. No, you didn't sign
okay.
it.
Okay.
You need some training.
This is going to be the jabs of the night now, isn't it?
And resolution 25-207, moved by Councillor Keckin and seconded by Councillor Ryland, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2025-26, the bylaw authorize the acquisition of paper titles to lands for highway purposes from Deborah and Gordon Zulak, first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council the 6th day of May 2025. Discussion? This has always been good, I think. You know, right from the beginning they said they would straighten this out. I just hope it's a right property description. I'm putting faith in our solicitor for that, because she does say in the comments, or at least as part of her report, I guess, that it's part of the public road already. I question that. If it is, that's fine, but there are a lot of public roads that we don't have titles to. So I think this is a further step to make sure that we do get titles to roads that we're traveling on. There's nothing that can stop people from traveling on the private or public roads they know of, but it's good to have titles. This came up years and years ago in subdivisions. There were certain roads that were never put into the township name by title. Just from public use, they became township property in a sense, but there were a couple councillors, I don't know if it was ever carried out. So even now, that's why we put in severances, that we get property deeded if they have it surveyed and they have access to the property 10 meters from the center line, so that it becomes township property. And it might be a publicly traveled road as is, but it's good to get that property. I don't know, Carly, you had information on this one?
I just wanted to inform council, because it wasn't done, you'll remember last year we had other portions of Alston Road transferred to the township. This piece was left out because it was within the estate and it was getting transferred to W. Gordon Zulak, and now since it's in their name, now it's getting transferred. So that's the reasoning behind why this triangular piece is wasn't included with the previous transfer.
Okay, any further discussion? All question, all those in favor? Unopposed? On to 21.3. Second by Councillor Hassan. Whereas bylaw number 2025-20 was read for a first and second time on April 15th, 2025. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-20, being a bylaw to adopt the estimates of all sums required during the year 2025, the yearly budget, a third reading, and further passed at open council the 6th day of May 2025. Discussion? Question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried.
We have Roshan to transfer out of the reserve now. Thank you.
Any unfinished business? Anything on that list? Transfer station card review. Got a little background on that.
So in 2023, the township mailed stickers that can affix to windshields for the year that council wanted to revert back to the cards. Since then, we've had Megan master the mail merger, and she's now able to put order information into the transfer station cards. The idea is to have the cards printed on a heavier cardstock, and it's already perforated, so it'll be easy to rip up. And then the cards are printed in the same order that the tax bills will be, so insertion of the cards into the tax bill will be fairly easy. As you can see, it's a bright yellow, and it will be yellow as well when we print the final copies. On the back, there's a QR code to scan. It takes you to the transfer station website so that, if we change the hours on the website, it will be updated on this card. Also, there will be a little bit of a letter attached with the card telling ratepayers that they will have one card. One name is issued on the card, so even though there's multiple names on property, anyone within their household can take it. We just can only fit one name on the card. If they require additional cards, they can contact the township office via email or come in and get another card issued to them at no charge.
Quick question I hadn't thought of before. Do these have numbers attached to them, like a permit number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or is that necessary?
There is no permit number, but Megan made a good point. If someone comes in for an additional card, she'll mark on the original and the additional how many cards have been issued to that property.
I don't necessarily want to bring up the whole idea of rental at this point, but we know what's happening. And we haven't got any feedback from municipal affairs yet, so we can't work on our zoning and our official plan until we do. But if a person is renting to somebody else, what card do they bring in? The owner's card, or how does that work?
So it'll be the owner's card. Renters of properties will not be issued a separate card. So the owner of the property would need to leave their card at their dwelling.
We can be assured that the owner is not coming in and getting 6 permits for their renters?
Yes.
Okay.
66. But
no,
it's
okay,
6,
sorry.
So. The presumption is then that the information about the name and the property would be filled in, like the ones that you handed us in here or don't, but I mean, I understand that. But
yes.
Yeah.
So Megan has created the mail merger. This is just for an example purpose, but
okay.
One name is on the card, and then the property civic address is on the property portion. If there is a legal land description and it's vacant land, we've just put vacant land to make it easier for the transfer station attendant.
Okay. Thank you. It's easy to spot.
Interested to hear from Councillor Keckin, and you've got experience on this. So
no, this is
our cover.
Yeah, thank you for putting this together. I think it's going to make it a lot easier for the transfer station attendant, particularly when they're filling out receipts for people coming in, because we've heard that the previously transfer station attendant wasn't, because for whatever reason, but now when the person can hand a card, when they have a very long, complicated last name, it'd be very easy for the transfer station attendant to just transfer the name right there and not sit there trying to multitask several different things and try to listen to someone spell out a very complicated last name when they're keeping an eye on 10 different things. So I think this will serve many purposes and I think it's well done, so thank you.
All thanks to Megan.
Yeah, thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Cool. Again, you mentioned notice to the public. I mean, that's always an argument they use, that, well, we didn't know anything about it, or we lost it in the trash, or we don't have the permit card. How forceful is Randy going to be there as far as accepting people coming in without a card?
We can post on the website that the cards will be distributed within the final tax billing, so it kind of gives people a heads up to watch out for that. If someone was to come to the transfer station without a card, they can produce either their driver's license if they live here and it has the McKellar address, or they can bring a utility bill or tax bill from their cottage.
Not like the elections where you need something with your actual picture along with your address?
No.
Okay. Well, that's great to get this on track. Any new business? Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members, any committee meetings you've attended? Councilor Zula.
I just want to invite council. I don't know if you've been invited or not, but they're having a groundbreaking ceremony for Belvedere Heights expansion on Friday at 11:30 at the Fireside Cafe at Belvedere. And this commencement starts at 11:45. And I'll just pass everyone one of these. Can you pass that along, Nick?
Sure.
Just so you have it. And then also, Community Support Services has moved, and they're at 60 James Street now, across from the, it used to be the old Shoppers, I think.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, they're in there now, and they're also having an opening ceremony at 10:30, and I think Graydon Smith will be there, and different people. So, and the Community Support Services, they serve West Perry Sound District, and they include volunteer accessible transportation, Meals on Wheels, volunteer coordination, senior exercise classes, stand-up classes for seniors, senior activities, friendly visits, lunch and learn, senior active living center activities, and information and outreach. So they do quite a bit of things for people, and I think that is probably a more accessible spot for them, for the people, rather than when it was at Belvedere, and it also helps with our new expansion. So that's it.
That's great. So counselors attend, there's also a pre-registration form for Belvedere when they want to go there.
Well,
some future date.
Exactly. It's a given.
But we can't claim the expense, though.
No, that's right.
Or courses. Okay. That's it for me.
Okay. I think planning board, there was nothing from McKellar.
No.
They were Whitestone, Carling, and McDougall, 53.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a couple of controversial ones that have been controversial actually passed, so a bit of hard work from local planners, so yeah, not much to report there. I did have a recreation committee meeting, as you see in the minutes. So I don't know if there's anything there that you don't want to mention, but I will mention that I believe Terry from the recreation committee sent me an email saying that they can move their pickleball out to the arena.
Yes.
Right. How did we deal with, or did we deal with the pigeon problem?
Not quite yet.
No. They'll just play and get pooed on.
Scott's there every morning,
yeah.
5 or 6 a.m., and he does the best he can to clean. They're also looking at purchasing a pressure washer, too,
right.
Just to help out there as well.
Yeah. Was there lines that they were hoping that would be installed? Or?
Yeah, we're waiting until we have our summer students to be able to do that, but we will consult Terry and the rec committee to just ensure that the lines are where they need to be. But that's something we can do in-house. We're just waiting for more summer help.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Get them out of the community center here. T-ball sign up Thursday. We have a sponsor for the kids' shirts, which is good. The fireworks that we were hoping to hold at Broadbent, the Recreation Committee is putting on in conjunction with the Broadbent Snowbugs. One of the conditions that staff is requesting is somebody setting off the fireworks as a fireworks operator certificate. And so I've been looking, and I was going to take the course and everything, but I just hit a roadblock every time I try to get somewhere to take this course. And I have two other individuals from the Snowbugs that are willing to take it too, because they would help with the fireworks.
I won't say so much that it's a condition. It was recommendation from our insurance company.
Yeah.
And we had talked about the new pumper being out there possibly with two firefighters.
Right.
In that case too, like if someone's experienced lighting off fireworks and the fire department's there, I don't really see an issue, but the insurance company just said it could be a recommendation that somebody take this course.
Yeah, I've seen a recommendation, but it'd be nice to meet all the recommendations, but like you say, the fire department's kind of covering it, and I've been setting off fireworks for years out of there, kind of thing. And actually, the team that would be doing it would be those same ones that have done it for years. So, because I don't know if you, just for the fun of it, go on the link you sent me. And the other two we're going to try because they're younger people and more computer-oriented. But it's, you get on there and you see where you got to pay the $102 or whatever kind of thing, plus tax, $113. And I filled out all my information, including payment information, and I click on submit or something like that, and it's like it just ended right there. I got no receipt, no nothing kind of thing. And then one of the other individuals were reading, I don't know if they got a little further. It's once you take the course, then to get proof that you have the course, you got to pay another $100.
Oh.
And it almost looks like it's going to, it's not through the government anymore, it's like they've subbed it off to Fireworks FX or something like this, like probably a private organization's taking care of it. So I just got really leery of the whole situation. But if you had time, if you want, just head to start and see what we're missing.
Okay.
Again, because we would get it, but your staff feels that if we don't, we're still fine with the fire department.
Yes.
And experience people setting it up.
Yeah,
okay.
And as long as you, like, the rec committee will also be applying for the fireworks permit as well, so, yeah.
Right. Okay, that's a relief, but the intention is if I could get guided through it, I would take it just to make sure that
perfect.
Everything works out good. And so anyways, they're excited about it, and they're actually getting donations now. I believe they've already got up to $500 in donations for the fireworks. Their goal is $1,000 worth of fireworks. They will reach that. And so it should work out pretty good. And rec committee is going to have a barbecue prior from 5 till 6, and then some kids' events. And then probably a bit of a break for people to go home, then come back, and then the kids will be entertained for half an hour before the fireworks, and then the fireworks. So it should be quite well organized. And I'm just wondering if they've managed to get $1,000 in donations, since it'll be people not only from Broadbent but all over the township attending this event, whether the township, we do have an account that's there for donating to local groups, whether the council would consider putting something into the fireworks, a donation to the Broadbent Snowbugs, to especially if they reach $1,000 in donations from residents, would the township consider? Because there'll be a thank you too. There's a level of anybody that donates $50 or more will receive recognition that night. They'll have the mic in that there, kind of thing. And so I could recognize the council if they so decide that they want to make a donation also.
What day is that for?
And we can do it because it's not an election year.
I don't know,
have to find out more details doing this next year.
I want confirmation too. You don't have a record anywhere, do you, that why you couldn't get this course or past experience? You're not on record.
Big twink in your
eye. I actually asked Kevin Murphy because he always took care of.
Well, he had an explosives course.
Yeah.
See, and that's helped.
He would have came out enough. He let it expire because he was doing, like, the last. He was doing it for the Ridge, and COVID killed theirs too. And now they're doing. I should ask them. They're doing fireworks May long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What's the date for this one, Marley?
It's the July Canada Day long weekend, the Saturday.
June 28th, right?
That's right. Yeah. So anyways, everybody's getting quite excited about it, and.
I guess the question about fireworks, we see it surface once in a while with animals. No concern there?
I don't think
that's...
We only have, three local residents there, and they will all be sitting outside with their chairs like they did other years, watching right from their homes kind of thing. I don't think, do we need to contact local residents? I don't think we do. I think we need to deal with if they do complain. I can't see it. What it's going to do is a lot of people have always had their individual fireworks, and being living on Pollock Road in the past, it was almost an aggravation, all these fireworks going off all hours of night, all weekend. What we're pressing for is, you know, just donate and to come down
there.
And instead of watching your $100 or $200 of fireworks, a poof, 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 come down and watch a lot bigger display. So we're hoping to help the animals out. What we're doing. So should Recreation Committee or Broadbent Snowbugs submit a letter to council asking for a donation to the event, then would that be proper process? Okay, we'll do that. Okay, I guess that's it for my report.
Any other reports? Okay, on to consent agenda. Resolution 25-209, moved by Councillor Peckin and second by Councillor Ryland. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss?
Oh, are we responding to 25.15? Are we responding to Ken Galloway to let him know what kind of... what we've been thinking about with the parties broke?
Yes, I will respond to him.
Okay. And presently our plan is to get
the engineering done this year. He did attend the office in person, and I spoke to him when he dropped off the letter, so he is aware, but I can't remember if I did send a subsequent email after him coming to the office, but I'll double check.
Okay.
And I did make him aware of what's been budgeted for 26 and for 27.
Right. Because, yeah, I have spoke to residents, other residents in there. That's kind of the story I'm going,
Sorry, I mean 25 and 26.
So it's a similar story, just because I see them. And
yeah, I think it's actually how he pinpointed the actual sections of the road. I think council's up to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting the whole road done, which some people think is the request, and it's just one little section.
I went in and drove it, and it's not too pleasurable. It's not killer bad. So, I think it's something that they know is going to get fixed in the next year or two. I can't see them panicking and being ridiculously ugly if it's not done this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure what staff is doing that they're repairing it. I assume on a regular basis so that take care of some of the imperfections,
mm-hmm.
make it drivable at least.
But if you drive it and then you drive sections of Herdville Road, then you really know what a bad road is.
Can I ask something on that? I've seen some complaints and heard some complaints from people in Broadbent about the poor state of Herdville Road, giant potholes that just keep recurring. I know the staff goes out and patches them because I frequently even see them while they're doing it, but it seems to me I have never witnessed, and I do mean never, the staff using a tamper or anything else to keep the asphalt in the hole. Right. And frankly, my experience over the last couple of weeks is doing that without tamping it down and then having a rainstorm or whatever, it basically washes out. So the potholes come back again and again and again. And I have no idea why they don't use a tamper. I mean, I've repaired, city driveways, and I don't have a paved driveway here many times myself. And we would always use a tamper and frequently would use a blowtorch to heat it up and to pound it down. And I don't understand why the township doesn't. I should have thought of asking this when Tom was here, but I honestly, I think they spend more time patching and repatching than they would if they simply did it right the first time.
Well, I'm not sure of the procedure either, but I know when I took a drive out to St. Stephen's, and I've been out the other way to Herd to look at that group, and now you just driven it this evening, I guess, more recently, but to me, whatever they did for patching has worked. It's solid in there. I guess when you first put it down, that's what people were complaining about.
That's true.
But I think now, whatever they've done over the time on how long it took, but to me, the potholes are gone in that particular section that people were complaining about. So
I think it was the heat over the last few days. Did you say you went out there today?
No, not today. That was prior to.
But we don't have a tamper. And I've mentioned that so many times, because even when we did the culverts across the road and I said about frost heaves, frost tapers.
Yeah.
We do it. And they don't. And they don't have a thing. And I don't know how much they are, but I think it'd be worth it.
Well, I'm just talking about the one that's on a pole and you just pound it down, but those are like $100.
Well, even the other one can't be that much.
The machine?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
The gas,
$1,500 or something.
Yeah.
And for the amount of times they have to go and they pitch that stuff in the hole, and then it just somebody drives over it two or three times and it's all back in the road.
And recently I think it's rain that does it, right? Rain gets in and it's just loose material and somebody drives over it and then it just washes
it's all over
it.
It's all over
the
car.
I'm not trying to be critical, but by the same token, I would imagine if we took photos every time they passed a given hole, and then when the next one was, we'd figure out that doing it right once would save us doing it three or four times. So
this is something that we passed on, certainly, but I think on the upcoming agenda, Tom will be here for a committee of the whole. Is that scheduled for the actual roads update? So that's where it could be discussed in more detail, and the public can also get involved.
Sure. In the past, not this year, maybe not last year either, I witnessed Public Works employees standing on the back of a truck and taking asphalt, for all of them, I don't know if it's anything different, and throwing it from standing on the truck and then driving on, which is, again, just a total waste of time and money, right? Why bother? It doesn't even get in the hole half the time, and then somebody drives over it, and they complain about that because it gets stuck to the car, all that stuff, and then, you know, it's just smashed back out. It's not that I want them to spend more time per se. I just like them to do it the better way possible so they can do it less frequently.
But well, as I say, that's something we can take to the public works superintendent.
Sure.
And see what the method is and whether it can be improved.
Yeah.
What method they're actually using. Any further discussion on the consent agenda? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Any questions, comments from the public, either in person or online, related to the items on the agenda? Just need your name.
You can go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Carly. Lawrence, you did. Thank you, Mayor Moore. I have a couple questions on the tender process and the comments. I noticed that RHH Engineering appeared to, I guess, be contracted by the township to review certain public works tenders. So I'm just curious as how they're engaged and why. And then also, does staff and or RHH, if they're engaged, is there a pre-qualification process that is ensures that the bidders are appropriately qualified and have the appropriate work experience for the work of the tender? And the reason I asked that question is it was brought up today. You know, oftentimes a wide range of bid results, you know, 30, 40, 50% difference. My experience in the public sector, sometimes those are red flags, and you know, you get what you pay for, and you have to be very careful that people or organizations don't undercut a bid because they're not really qualified to do the work, and then they ask for more money after the fact.
With regards to your question about Bob Hughes, he was retained for a certain capital project, so he has been involved with the ball field project from the beginning. He did the drawings for the project, and he was contracted to draft the tenders. So part of that process is he creates the tenders, helps us administer it, and then he also provides a recommendation. So that's the recourse for that. The other one was Herdville Bridge. He was contracted again to do drawings for the bridge and provide a recommendation as how to bring it up to standard now. And again, he created the tender, did the drawings, administered the tender, and provided a recommendation to council. For his review, he calls all of the tenderers and asks for references, and then he provides an opinion. Sorry, what was the second part of your question?
That was around the pre-qualification process.
Right.
That, you know, that they get all, you know, they have the appropriate experience and qualifications to do the work that they're bidding on.
Yeah, so he does extensive research on our behalf to ensure that he's recommending a good bidder.
Okay. Thank you. And then one final comment. I think I mentioned this last time. You talked about the transfer station card process. Just another comment, I'm sure you've all experienced the same thing. I've been a resident here now for 21 months. I've already been to the transfer station in excess of 50 plus times. I've never been asked to show any identification. So I would, you know, I would think the general public that use the transfer station, probably now that is the expectation that don't need to bring it and won't be asked for it. So you'll probably need to clearly reset that expectation if the tenant will start to now request that upon people entering the premises or using the premises.
The transfer station tenant is also looking forward to these cards being issued so that she is able to ask for them, because currently we had a sticker process and now we're converting back into cards. So once the cards are released, she will be asking everyone to produce their cards upon entrance of the transfer station.
Okay, I'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Persons she knows, she has already said that she wouldn't be asking them every time. So people
Okay, any further questions from online?
Could Councilor make a comment? I just go on here. Mary, MLCA is having a tree sale over at the arena on Friday, May 16th from 10 to 12. That's what it says here. Is pickleball at that same time?
If they are on the same time, we'll ask pickleball to move inside because they have been inside, but...
Oh, okay, as long as you're aware, I just hate to see all of a sudden a conflict there. Or whether they plan on doing it outside the arena, I don't know. But yeah, if you want to make sure that something doesn't, they both aren't showing up going inside and it's our scheduling that looks bad. Thank you.
Okay, for 27.1, we have resolution 25-210, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Zulak. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-27. And the bylaw confirmed the proceedings of Council the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council the 6th day of May 2025. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-211, moved by Councilor Peckin and second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved by Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. Adjourn this meeting at
8:58
p.m. to meet again on May the 20th, 2025, for a regular meeting of Council. Or